You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. That is U2 with B.B. King, called When Love Comes to Town. It's a pretty good song. Joining me on the phone, works out of Washington, D.C., is Mike Wilson, former Marine, and currently working at the Yellow Ribbon Foundation. So, Mike, first of all, thanks for doing this. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Mike. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back and appreciate everything you're doing, man.
No. You know, I mean, I enjoy it a little bit. So, not an issue. And we only got about halfway through what we wanted to get through last time, so I wanted to have you back on and talk about some housing and transportation programs you have for veterans, as well as something that I think as the years go by gets more and more important, and that is caregiver support. So, first of all, we need to introduce you and the Yellow Ribbon Foundation to everybody. So, first of all, tell us about your foundation, what it is, what it does.
So, the Yellow Ribbon Fund was started back in 2005 by some very gracious finance gentlemen that were taking a tour of Walter Reed. They came upon a wounded Marine and asked him what he needed, and he was like, you know what, you know, my parents are here, the housing situation is overwhelming and they don't have a place to stay. So they got his parents a hotel locally, and that kind of evolved over time. And it's evolved now into we provide rental cars, long-term apartments for folks getting treatment for an extended period of time, and then hotel rooms. We recently partnered with Marriott, and you know, we created a caregiver program about a year and some change ago to address the gaps in family support. Yeah, that's what we're doing, and you know, we kind of like to coin ourselves as like a QRF for the folks that are coming into Walter Reed, the National Military Medical Center there in Bethesda.
All right, and so tell everybody, Mike, give us a 60-second a refresher on your career and what you're doing at the Yellow Ribbon Fund.
So currently I'm the deputy director over at Yellow Ribbon Fund. I'm prior Marine. I did about 9 years in the Corps. I spent some time as a disability counselor when I initially came in, and then I went to the Marine Liaison Office at Walter Reed for a couple years, inspired by that experience, and talked to a colonel, hopped on a MIT team to Iraq. Got back from that deployment, and then joined Force Civil Affairs Group out of Bowling. And then I was attached to 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines, and 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines in Marja in 2009 and 10. Injured myself in Northern Marja. Came back with a TBI and some cognitive issues, some back issues, all those good things that we experience. And yeah, then I got in the contracting world and then finished up my degree at Georgetown and kind of slowed down the contracting experience and found my sense of purpose working with wounded warfighters, wounded, ill, and injured warfighters and their families, and just really enjoying what we're doing now and making an impact on those who need it most and need the support. Because the population is, you know, still the beds are full over at Walter Reed, and they still need our support.
All right, talk about your specific, what's your job over there?
So initially I came in as the director of operations to help out with the efficiency of the organization, and that evolved into giving guidance on, you know, how we should structure our programming. And we were trying to be everything to all people, and we quickly realized that the landscape of veteran service organizations is there's a niche for everyone, and we wanted to create our niche in what we were founded on, and that is the housing and transportation program, and then fill the gaps where we saw them in the caregiver population. So we did an analysis of what was going on, and then, you know, made the decision to cut the extra things where other folks are doing it better than we could ever do it. And that's how this all came to be. You know, they saw I was doing a good job with that, and now gave me a little bit more response. I'm really, really stoked to be doing this.
All right. What we want to do today is talk about a couple of programs. First of all, let's talk about the housing and transportation program that you guys have. Make us smart about that.
Yeah. So before we get into the programs, I think it's really important for your community and everyone out there to really get an understanding of the patient population. And right now we're seeing about a 50 to 60% cancer rate with the beds over at Walter Reed, and that's escalated quite a bit. And we're still seeing the combat wounded and the training incidents and other diseases, but we really are seeing an influx of the cancer folks and their families. Walter Reed does about 1,000 wounded, ill, and injured patients per year, 500 of that community at any given time, and about half of those have caregivers in tow, and that's not including their families. So you can kind of understand that the building over there is overwhelmed with folks, and we saw a gap with that. You know, Fisher House is doing really great work. There are other organizations, you know, helping fill that gap.
Right.
And, you know, we saw ourselves as a QRF because some organizations can't fill the gap quick enough due to whatever it is, bureaucratic processes and vetting processes. And due to our relationships with the nurse case managers at the hospital, we are able to fill that need really quickly. And that's how the program's evolved, and that's how we're operating at this point with that specifically. So, you know, we will also really want to emphasize the quality over the quantity. You know, if I may be able to get a better hotel rate at, you know, a Best Western, but, you know, if a mom is flying in from South Carolina to support her son or daughter with cancer, I'd rather put her up in the Marriott, you know, in case something, you know, goes devastatingly wrong, she can go back to at least a comfortable environment where the process starts of recuperating from whatever loss they're experiencing, and that's kind of where we see ourselves moving forward as well, is keeping that quality over quantity.
Okay, let me ask you, Mike. Let me ask you a question. So these are active duty cancer patients, or their family members that are cancer patients?
Yeah, man, these are active duty guys. 21 to 40 is what we're seeing, and
wow.
And you know, we're seeing a lot of folks, and we get anecdotal numbers, but the problem is not necessarily the causality of these things, because I can almost forecast, because everybody's like, you know, what's the cause?
Right.
And while the cause is important, you know, really what I'd like to see is some policy, some screening policy. You know, if we're seeing folks coming back from theater that are getting cancer, you know, can we put in place a 6-month screening process, a 12-month screening process, et cetera, to get in front of this mortality rate? Because a lot of the folks that are coming in are also terminal. And you know, this is a lot of it's anecdotal and from what we're hearing around the area, but DOD right now we've requested a lot of numbers and things, and I think they're dealing with the issue on their own level, and but we're trying to be agile enough to ebb and flow with the population we're seeing.
My guest from the Yellow Ribbon Fund is Mike Wilson, and we're talking about their reason for being and as self-described, the QRF in a lot of this humanitarian assistance that families need, quite frankly, and organizations like Mike and the Yellow Ribbon step into that area. The wow, that's interesting. So I know you guys are more about helping than causal issues, but have you heard, is there any rhyme or reason in terms of why the uptake? Is it that they simply are funneling more of those cases because of the capacity of Bethesda and Walter Reed to deal with serious cases? Are more being funneled there, or is there an uptick in the number of cases service-wide? Any idea?
So anything that, you know, I'm gonna quote is just gonna be anecdotal, and,
right.
And we need to, you know, so their oncology is, as far as the cancer, issue is, from my understanding, is a little bit, overwhelmed at the moment, and anecdotally, people are letting me know that that's kind of service-wide. They're seeing it a lot in Balboa and in San Antonio.
Wow.
So, I mean, in fact, you know, we just helped out a SOCOM guy who was evac'd out of training, diagnosed with leukemia, and they flew him right to Hopkins. And, you know, we want to be there for them too, since they're in our general area of operation. But I mean, these cases are coming about, you know, more and more frequently. And that's just a prime example when that happened last week. So it's crazy, you know, now that we're seeing a decrease in the combat population, but we're seeing an increase in a lot of these, you know, life altering diseases.
All right. Let's so in terms of programs, Mike, let's shift gears and talk about that. Your housing and transportation program. Who's eligible? What kind of program is it? What kind of services do you provide, or what kind of services do you fund?
So we provide free housing and lodging, and by that I mean if you're an amputee and you need long-term care, whether it's like, you know, 18 months, up to 18 months, we can provide long-term apartment in the local area, and that's free of charge. And, you know, we also provide suites over at the Marriott for folks that are, you know, going to be in for a shorter period of time, and the rental cars that they need, you know, if they're flying in. And those that are eligible, so we do have a priority, and those that are most in need. So say, you know, you're going to be in for a period of time and you have your family in tow, you know, you're going to, and your injury or disease or your wounds are dictating really like how close you need to be to the hospital, how we can help you with transportation to the hospital. And that's how we start to vet and dictate, you know, who goes into what apartment or if you can be at the hotel. And it's all post 9/11 active duty folks as well as veterans. So a lot of, I don't know if your viewers know this, but a lot of folks that have transitioned out with these, you know, with prosthetic care and they all come back to Walter Reed because they have the best care in the world. As far as prosthetic and, you know, even traumatic brain injuries and some of those, you know, really life-altering things.
Right.
And we help them out as well, and their families. They need to bring their families with them.
Got it.
And that's all coordinated through the different nurse case managers and
let me ask you about that. If somebody is, I just had a friend of mine that went back and had some brain work done, and you know, with the traumatic brain injury, and I don't know if you know Pat Horan.
Yeah, I know Patty.
Yeah, Patty. You know, he just was in Walter Reed, and he sent a picture one day because I don't know what happened. The front entryway fell in or some crap like that. He goes, "Hey, check it out, the entry hall fell." And, Pat, you know, he's been medically retired for a while, and, he went ahead and, went back to Bethesda. So somebody who has to make that kind of trip, could you support? How do they get in touch with you? Do they do it via, as you said, caseworkers at Bethesda in terms of, support they need? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a really great relationship with the case managers over there, and if they can't put folks up on campus, then they reach out to the different organizations. And that's where those relationships are really important. And, you know, we want to be there to provide the things they need in a relatively short order. And, you know, that's – so someone like Pat that's coming in town, or, you know, folks like, you know, other guys that we've mentioned, I don't want to blow up anybody's spot.
Right, go ahead.
But, you know, I mean, folks come in from all over the country to get follow-on care. And so it's not just active duty guys and gals that are being seen there for, you know, really significant surgeries and things like this, like revisions on amputations. It's happening all the time. And then right. They're there for an extended period of time for occupational therapy, physical right. therapy, et cetera.
Okay. All right. And so if they're going through there, then all they have to do is work through their case manager at Walter Reed and tell them that they could use help, and that at that point they should get funneled to you or somebody else that does the same kind of work?
Absolutely. Or they can reach out to us directly.
Okay.
And that happens a lot, too. We've built a good reputation over the years as, you know, that kind of organization that people can lean on when they have those specific needs. And just through word of mouth, as you know, if you have a good reputation, that follows you. And we've had folks that just we've never met before that are asking us, you know, hey, I'm coming in, I need, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then we fill in that gap, and then we get their caregivers involved. We get their caregivers involved and bring them into the community so they have that support. The caregiver thing is a whole nother entry point because, you know, as I'm sure you know, when you get to the hospital sometimes, depending on your injury or your wound or your disease, you're not the service member isn't in the best state, and their wife or spouse or mom or brother or sister are taking a lot of the burden as far as the day-to-day life is concerned, especially if they have kids. So that's a whole another avenue.
Okay, and so I was just looking actually before you came on the air, I was looking at your website, and so you can apply online to Yellow Ribbon Fund if you need their support. If you go to their housing and transportation page, and if you look on that page, there's a couple of links that say hotel stays, may apply online for free hotel stays, click here. Apartments, may apply for that. So if you're looking, you know, to if you need support because of some kind of extended stay, then by all means, Yellow Ribbon is there to help. Let's talk about caregiver support. I don't know that, you know, I think that we tended to focus, early in the war on, those that are wounded, you know. But as those years go by, one of the things that has kind of cropped up has been not only their continued care, but also the sustainment of their caregivers. And in many cases, it's spouses. The day on, stay on of that. And so talk to us about that, because that's really, it seems like it's becoming more and more important as the years go by.
It is, and you're absolutely right. The sustainability is the name of the game. And when service members first get hurt or they face these different medical crises, like I mentioned, they're not really in the loop as far as the administration and the daily needs of the family at that point. And, you know, the caregiver, the hidden hero, and, you know, what we like to call the keystone of the family is that caregiver who is not only providing the love and support that the service member needs, but they're providing the stability in the background. And what we've designed is a mechanism of three different buckets. And we see it as a community. When you get to Walter Reed or Fort Belvoir or even places like Balboa, because we have caregiver coordinators in these different areas across the country, where when the incident first happens, we can be there as a support mechanism. A lot of caregivers are overwhelmed when they first get there, and luckily we have somebody like Gina Harrow, who is the spouse of a former special operations officer who lost both of his legs above the knee. So she is very intimate with what it means to be a caregiver and what that feels like. And she's very passionate in her delivery and support of those folks. And we've created these buckets, right? So peer-to-peer support initially, get them comfortable with how they're navigating and the processes. And then once they get comfortable, we get them to a point where they can get some training and education, and then follow on resources once they leave the local area and head back to their community. And, you know, we hope that we can fill, and our intent is to plug and play. So if we can put you into the peer-to-peer support, we can put you into the training and education and the following resources, depending where you are in that process.
As you look at it, Mike, you've been around these programs for a while now. It's certainly, I don't know that anybody who serves anticipates, you know, being disabled for life. I don't know that any spouse contemplates being a caregiver for life. I think a lot of spouses contemplate, you know, if you lose your spouse, as they deploy. But I don't know that most of my friends ever thought about being disabled for life, burned or disfigured or in some way, shape or form, incapacitated for life. Talk to us about the education, really the education and training of a caregiver. Is the mental piece of it, is that the first step? Because I would imagine it's a bit like trying to drink out of a fire hose. There's just so much between the physical reality that comes at you, the financial issues that come at you, and then, you know, the emotional part of, did I just lose my spouse forever? You know, I mean, how does this work? It's not a small amount that they deal with.
No, it's not. And you're right. It's the financial piece. It's the health piece. A lot of caregivers are focused so much on their spouse, they're not worrying about, or their spouse or brother or whomever, they're not worrying about their own health. And that's included within our respite, and the peer-to-peer support is getting caregivers tied into different health initiatives. And making sure that they're taking time for themselves to recover mentally, physically, due to the weight on their shoulders. And it's a lot of weight. It's a lot of weight
right.
for anybody, let alone someone who's dealing with, you know, their significant other, with the potential loss of their job, because they're transitioning into a new normal.
Right.
And that's a new normal that is going to be for the rest of their lives. And it's a mental struggle for a lot of the caregivers, but also as a couple. And that's why we partnered with Cohen Veteran Care Network recently, and they have a clinic. They have clinics across the country, and specifically we're working with the one in Silver Spring, Maryland, where they do one-on-one counseling as well as couple counseling. And intimacy is a huge thing within the military, you know, transition process, and being able to, you know, compartmentalize and transition through combat experience, diseases and injuries that are significant, and being able to, you know, relate to your spouse or your friends or whomever. And
yeah, and we're Marines, and we don't, the I word, we don't really like to talk too much about, but I would submit to you this, you need intimacy more after you go to war, because you have a whole lot of stuff going on inside of you that some of it you understand, some of it you're still trying to come to grips with. And you need that intimacy, that personal closeness with somebody else. And then imagine not only going through that, but being injured in such a way that, you know, you may have disabilities for life. You may have a traumatic brain injury. And so you're going through this together with somebody else. When you don't feel that intimate connection anymore and you begin to move into your own orbit, that's when bad things happen, you know, and so it's that alienation. And so to me, as much as we don't like to talk about it because we're Marines, right? Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you need it. You need, I mean,
I think nobody wants to feel vulnerable ever, or like even, you know, talk about intimacy, let alone like explore it in depth, you know, but you know, and the healing process is dynamic, and until you're comfortable enough to discuss that with the people that you love the most, you know, it's to their detriment of, it's to our detriment of trying to tough it out. You know, I mean, my dad told me when I was young, you know, I like tore all the ligaments in my knee and he told me to walk it off, you know, and,
right.
But I think us as Marines kind of take that mentality, you know, with us in everything we do. And then but once you're at a point where you hit a wall, it's not conducive to actually functioning and being successful and, you know, and being strong. And that's what we hope to create through both of these programs is stronger families, stronger veterans, stronger, community members and neighbors and successful folks through the right support. And it's important, man. It's important that we fill these gaps to create stronger families.
Okay. So let's go back to, how do you do this with four spouses? And well, let me just say four caregivers. We just talked about, I mean, the task is daunting. So they contact you and they say, hey, I'm interested in your programs. What do you do? How do you do it?
So really, again, it's our network at the hospital.
Okay.
And, you know, it's the AW2, you know, the respective services, their warrior transition units. We have a good relationship with them and, you know, we actually go into the hospital and into their rooms and ask them what we can do for them. And Gina, again, is just, you know, incredibly supportive of the caregivers, and she'll go in and ask if they need stuff for their babies or they need stuff for their kids. And it's creating that emotional bond, especially for her because she's been there. And, you know, she had, you know, a very young baby when her husband was hit. And, you know, it's those relationships that keep us, you know, marching on. And we also have the Jimmy Dudley, who runs our housing and transportation. He's a wounded soldier, and he was shot in Afghanistan. So he understands, and his wife understands, what it's like to go through the hospital and how important the support is. And if we weren't in the hospital, I don't think we'd be having the biggest, you know, the impact that we're having now. And so it's incredibly important, but it's incredibly important we understand the population too and remain agile enough to serve those who are most in need.
Okay, so chances are that for a lot of people, the first contact they'll have with Yellow Ribbon Fund people is when somebody sticks their head in and says, "Hey, I'm from Yellow Ribbon Fund. Here's what we do. Do you need any of these things?" And they say, "Well, as a matter of fact, we do." And that begins a relationship.
Absolutely, and word of mouth. So a lot of the caregivers that have already been exposed to what we're doing, or a lot of the patients that are been exposed to what we're doing, they're forwarded to us through that network.
Okay.
And, you know, it's the network that's important too, because if we can't fill the gap, we don't hold things close to our chest. Like, you know, as a veteran service organization, we would like to be the folks that can facilitate the care if we can't provide it. So if we can't help you out, we know somebody who can, and, right, and we want to be that, you know, that facilitator for whatever it is that they need. And, you know, we want to be there for that purpose and continue to be there for that purpose. We're helping people in Houston. We're helping people all over the country that need support through our network and through our relationships.
Okay. All right. So, so let's just say somebody's listening to this. They Google, care support, you know, caregiver support, and they see this segment and they start listening to it. And they don't know anything about the Yellow Ribbon Fund. What do you tell them, Mike, in terms of contacting you? Just, go to the website. Just reach out to us and tell us you're interested in our programs, and somebody will get a hold of them?
Yeah, absolutely. You can visit us right on our website. You can send us an email, and you know, all the contact information is on our website. You check us out on social media, and you know, we're really good at responding to all of the inquiries. And even if we're, you know, outside of, even if their particular case is outside of our scope, we'll try to help them out with whatever we can through our network.
Got it. Just a couple of personal questions of interest, because I've tried to make myself smart about this. In terms of caregiver support, what's the number one thing that you provide?
I think the most impactful is that initial peer-to-peer support, because that's the most confusing time, and it's to be able to bounce best practices off somebody in the very beginning is crucial and critical to the sustainability and future of that, either the couple or the son or daughter or whatever the case, the relationship is for their recovery. And when you have a friend who has gone through something before you and knows how to navigate that particular crisis, they are instrumental in paying it forward. And the group mentality can extend just from the face-to-face. And that's why we partnered with the American Red Cross. They've through MVCN, they've created the online portion. So if you miss a peer-to-peer support group, they can go through our forum and ask the questions that they need to ask. And again, you know, through the initial response and the initial peer-to-peer support, I think is invaluable.
Got it, got it. So there's a number of ways. And then the other thing that you said is, and I think I saw the number, 40,000 in terms of different nonprofit organizations that are in the same business as you are around the country. And so that network's a pretty powerful network in terms of, as you said a few minutes ago, if we don't have it, we know, or if we can't do it, we know probably somebody who can, and you can point them in a certain direction or put them in touch with somebody that can remedy that issue.
Absolutely. Like we want to be a facilitator, because the overall success of the veteran and military community as they transition is the number one priority. We want people to be stronger and represent our generation of warfighter in the best way that they can possibly do that. And we want our generation to be as successful as possible, and we want to be a facilitator in that role.
All right. Tell me about the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. What I mean, she herself has been a caregiver for most of for all of her marriage to Bob Dole, and that was kind of that's the historical origin of her foundation. But she's an extremely successful woman in and of her own right. And but they have been instrumental in kind of moving the ball in terms of bringing this whole issue of caregiver support out into the open, something that we're not afraid to talk about and deal with. Yes,
absolutely. They did a really heavy lift as far as research on the caregiver population, and in coordination with the RAND Corporation. If you're not familiar with RAND, it's a think tank in D.C. that does congressional inquiries and research on a lot of different topics. And they did a study that was incredibly comprehensive about the caregiver space. And, you know, that it's pretty much the, you know, like the coin manual. You know, it's pretty much the Bible, so to speak, as far as the caregiver, you know, how we address those needs and where the gaps are. And it's the Elizabeth Dole Foundation is leading the charge and creating the awareness around this population in a way that nobody's ever done before. And their conference is attended by so many folks, and the breakout groups they're having are so impactful, and it really they are like kind of like a guiding light in that and leading the charge. And you know, we're happy to have a relationship with them as well, and to be able to lean on them for things that we're encountering is really important.
The I'll publish a link when this interview goes up here in a few minutes. I'll publish the link to the RAND study, and anybody that's interested in looking to it. And there's a whole variety of things in the RAND study. You know, one of the things you see a term called hidden heroes, and so it's spouses. And there's a whole spectrum of, you know, my husband's an amputee. In the caregiver spectrum, I mean, that's going to be lifelong. But you know what? I'm trying to figure out how to say it right. It's not like it's a traumatic brain injury, okay? Because when your spouse has a traumatic brain injury, not only you lose a piece of them, right? They're not the same as they were. And so there's the counseling that Mike talked about that becomes pretty important, as as a family goes through this, as a couple goes through this, and that they get to each gets the support they need. So, no, the RAND study will post along with this interview. Mike, what haven't I been smart enough to ask you about either one of these two subjects that I'm just learning about both, to be honest with you?
Yeah, so really the kind of like how, you know, if we can't handle it, then we'll facilitate somebody who can. And really a big player in this space now is the CODA Support Foundation, who we've partnered with. And, you know, they have an innovative platform where, you know, say you're leaving Walter Reed and you're going back to Tennessee, for example. They can pull up, like, essentially a Google map and hammer down on organizations that can provide follow-on support. And they're just an incredible asset and ran by the company, or the organization is run by incredibly passionate folks. Christy Kaufman is leading the effort over there, and she's incredibly, incredibly smart and really passionate about helping out those who go back to places where they may not have the support network like a DC or a New York or a San Diego, and getting the folks that are living in you know, environments that they don't have a huge support network, and getting them the care that they need and the follow-on support that they need. And the sustainability of that is critical, you know, especially with the suicide rates and, you know, and just the quality of life that significantly wounded folks and those who are facing a lot of mental issues and trying to self-medicate. They need to know that people care about them, and you know, we want to be able to, through CODA Support Foundation, is get them, you know, the hand up that they deserve, and we think that's really important also.
Okay, now what the Dakota Foundation, what is
the Code of Support Foundation? Okay. Through Christy Kaufman, and she is an absolute rock star and incredibly passionate about what she does.
All right. Code of Support Foundation.
Yeah.
All right. And you can find them, let's see, codeofsupport.org. So you can go.
Really great resource, and, you know, they are expanding their capabilities through partnerships and really taking technology in that to the next level, which you know, it's important that we start, as veteran service organizations, start to incorporate technology and communications and the way that we tell stories and the way that we, you know, handle our deliverables that is contemporary and, you know, change with the tide and in order to create a bigger impact. And you know, we want to stay relevant, and we're trying to do all of those things to continue having an impact on the community that we serve.
Got it. All right. My guest today has been Mike Wilson of the Yellow Ribbon Fund, and I got his name from Bob Nielsen, who met Mike before he deployed. And before Mike was injured, before Mike was wounded, Bob Nielsen knew him. And so it's been a pleasure, Mike, to get to know you, to have you come on. I hope you don't mind, in the future, if when we're looking at issues like this, I give you a call and, drag you back on to get your thoughts on it and pick your brain a little bit, if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Would be happy to talk to you about anything. I mean, I could even talk to you about, you know, what kind of food I'm having.
We love to talk about food.
Like, you can tell what time it is, right? Like,
it's almost dinner time.
Marines are always hungry.
You know, it's not, well, let me tell you, whether they're hungry or not, they'll always eat. I know that. So, yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that. The work that you guys do, whether it's, lodging and transportation for people that have extended stays at Bethesda or Walter Reed, I mean, you know, again, you know, these events are life-changing events, and they rock families financially. They rock them in a lot of different ways, and you know, you can't say thank you to enough to the organizations that step into these situations. You know, Semper Fi Fund is one that started in the Marine Corps that started simply as a response by spouses of guys that were still over in Iraq to try to help families of Marines that had been wounded that were incurring these bills. And, you know, and so you see, we've seen the origin of these kind of funds, but most importantly, we've seen the great work that they do. And Yellow Ribbon Fund's a great one. And now the issue of caregiver support. You know, I can't overemphasize the importance of that. That is hard work. And to make sure they're mentally fit, to make sure they're physically fit, to make sure they're intimately fit, you know, as much as we don't care to talk about it, that all that works so that their quality of life can be as great as it can possibly be. It's organizations like the Yellow Ribbon Fund that make that stuff happen. So, Mike, it's our honor, honestly, to have you on, and thank you for coming on and doing this today.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Mike, and we really appreciate the awareness and the support. And just for everybody out there, please visit us on all the social media channels and check us out, and let me know if you guys need anything. Please don't hesitate to contact us. And then just really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, man. So just so everybody knows, the website is yellowribbonfund.org.
Yellowribbonfund.org.
And are you guys on Twitter? Of course you are.
We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And please visit our Instagram. We need some folks to see what we're doing on the gram. So go check us out there, too.
All right. Yeah, on Twitter, YR Fund. All right. So
YRF Fund. Yeah.
So check them out. Again, great organizations that continue to do great things and impact people's lives. You know, when a lot of people stop paying attention. So, Mike Wilson, our guest today from the Yellow Ribbon Fund. Mike, thanks for the visit, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Mike. We'll see ya.
There you have it. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military?